Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today. We are so blessed by Peggy. She has come here before, and every time she has come, I just love it when, you know, the kingdom welcomes in. Men have their giftings and their ways, but women have their giftings and their ways too. And a lot of times we think that when we go into a situation, loudness and yelling and all that, but there's something to authority in the calm and the peace. And I noticed that with Peggy, when she ministers, she has this calm authority, and it's just so poignant and so effective. And the Lord just uses her so uniquely in the prophetic. And every time she comes, it's just the whole church is blessed, but also individuals that come are blessed. And we are just so grateful that she continues to come and bless us.
It's so nice to be back, by the way, and to see everybody. And it's just so nice to be here. It's almost like family. I've been here quite a few times. And I've been off for 3 months. I took 3 months off. The Lord said to take 3 months from speaking. And I did give in a 2 weeks ago, the little Methodist church down the road from us, their pastor had surgery, and you're only allowed to preach for 15 minutes. So I went down and did a little, and they did everything else. So they just had me get up and do a 15-minute sermonette. So that's the only thing I did. But so now I'm back. You're the first ones I came back for. And my message today is from Haggai. And it seems strange. I never preached from the book of Haggai before. The one reason that I picked it is because I'm in this little, there's 12 women in a little group that we're trying to do a Bible study. We didn't know what to do. So we thought, well, we'll just go through the Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book, and see how long it's taken us. And we just finished the Old Testament, but it took us over a year and a half to get there. But I've been stuck on these minor prophets, and I never really looked at them that much before, and there's so much to learn from them. And so when we went through Haggai, I put together this message, and I'm believing it's for you all. So I'm going to pray. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing us together today. And Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be your words. And Lord, that this would be a time of revelation where you will reveal to us just what each one of us needs from your word. And so, Lord, I just ask that in Jesus' name, amen. So it might seem boring at first, but it'll get better. So I want to give you a background of the book of Haggai. It's just a little tiny book. And it's all about the Jews who returned from Babylonia, where they were in captivity. And they were in captivity for quite a while. There were over a million of them that had been taken from Jerusalem. They were scattered around, and finally they were able to come back. And when they were able to come back, there were only 50,000 of them who came back. And so the rest of them didn't really care to come back. And so the ones who came back were the remnants. Now that already right there, I believe I'm speaking to the remnant of the church today. You know, you're here this morning in the Spirit-filled church and ready for anything that God has for you, and you're the remnant. And so you can relate to these people who came back to Jerusalem, and they had some things to do. The Lord specifically said to them that they were to rebuild the temple, which was destroyed. And so this was in 586 BC, and they started to build the temple back at the, you know, they started when they got there, but then they got distracted, and they've quit. They just quit for 16 years. They didn't do anything else. They built their own homes, but they didn't build the temple. They didn't work on it. They started sacrificing animals like they were supposed to and all of that, but they had stopped. And really this message is called, What's Holding You Back? And so what was holding them back? And that's what we're going to look at, because the Lord sent Haggai, the prophet, to tell them, hey, You all had a mission. You had a destiny. You had an assignment to do, and you just stopped. And you need to start. The Lord's saying you need to get back to work. And so we're just going to read this here because I believe all of us, I just want to tell you, I hope you all know this. You all have a mission. You have an assignment from the Lord. You have an anointing that rests upon your life. You have something that God wants you to do. And it's micro things, like every day you get assignments. Maybe it's just one person you're supposed to smile at. Maybe it's this and you're to be obedient. And you have macro assignments. There's things that you were born just to do, and your life's mission and the anointing that rests on your life is on that thing that God wants you to do. And so for these people, these Jews that Haggai was sent to talk to, they had this mission. And their mission was to rebuild the temple. And they had just stopped for 16 years. They were just holding back. So we're going to look just at a couple things in Haggai. Haggai 1, 2 through 6. So if you want to follow along, I'm in the NIV. And it talks about this, and it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty said. These people say, 'The time has not come for the Lord's house to be built.'" Do you ever think, "Oh, it's not the right timing right now"? I'll get to what you want me to do, Lord, but let me do this first, and then I'll do it. "Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but have harvested little. You have eaten but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in purses with holes in them." Does that ever happen to us? And so Haggai was sent to them to tell them, it's time now. You've been messing around for 16 years. It's time now for you to get to work. And what I want us to look at there is that, I don't know if any of you ever find this, that you work and you work and you work doing what you want to do, but yet there's holes in your pocket and the money just seems to come out and you don't see it. You're looking for something, but you just can't get a grasp of what it is. You know, you're thirsty, but you're not drinking the right spiritual drink and you're still thirsty. You're hungry and you go to eat something, but it just doesn't fill you up. You know, there's just something. There's a dissatisfaction, a discontent. And that's how they were living, because they weren't living the way the Lord wanted them to do and doing what it is that God wanted them to do. Isn't it always best to do what God wants you to do? Hallelujah. To get in that flow that He wants you to get into. You know, I have a friend who, nobody would know her. And after hearing what I have to say, she probably isn't a good friend, but She does kind of what I do. She goes around and she ministers, and she never was able to quite get her ministry off the ground. And so I've noticed with her that every time she wants to start ministering, she'll say, "Well, I'm going to," she lives in a trailer, and she said, "I'm going to get my trailer fixed up first. As soon as I get it fixed up, then I'm really going to put my heart and soul into this ministry." And then as soon as that happens, she'll say, "Well, I need to lose some weight. As soon as I get this weight off, I'm going to go and I'm going to minister." And she always has an excuse after an excuse. And honestly, I've seen her for 20 years and her ministry has never really gotten off the ground, because I believe God has called her into ministry, but she just can't quite get herself in the groove with the Lord. And you know, sometimes things hold us back. We think it's just not the right timing to do it. But it's always best to follow the Lord. You know, there were times when I would think, "Well, I'm going to be with the Lord." I could feel the Holy Spirit saying to me, okay, I want to spend some time with you. And I'll think, well, just let me get the kitchen cleaned first. And let me, I need to get work on my message. Let me do that. And let me make a few phone calls. And by the afternoon, Lord, I'll give you the afternoon. But I can feel the Holy Spirit saying, I want to spend some time with you right now. I want to be with you right now. And I've found through trial and error that if I just give in and let everything else go and be with the Lord, then you wouldn't believe how much faster I can get everything else done. You know, it just gets done. And so one thing that was holding these people back was that they were just not being obedient to the Lord and to what he wanted them to do. And so, you know, because of that, they had their wheels were spinning. Do you ever feel like your wheels are spinning? When you think about your destiny, how many of you can think, there's something God wants me to do. There's something I need to achieve, but I my wheels are just spinning. I just can't quite get it done. Well, maybe it's time to revisit the Lord and say, how am I supposed to do this, Lord? Am I putting something ahead of you? Am I not quite in your groove that you want me to be in? There's an old Dutch saying that says, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get. And you know, that's what was happening with those Jews. That's what was happening to them when they were called as a remnant to do a thing for the Lord, and it wasn't getting done. You know, I believe sometimes we're waiting for revival. You know, it's here in many places. But maybe the specific part that we are supposed to do as a remnant individually, we're just not quite doing yet. We're thinking, I wonder why it's not happening yet. Well, maybe it's because we need to get in that alignment with the Lord and say, I'm going to be obedient no matter what. I don't care if it's not the timing I want it to happen in. I'm going to do what it is that you want me to do. And so there's actually four things that these Jewish people did not do right and made them not get ahead. And one of them was their obedience to the Lord. The second reason, this is the first I've preached this, so bear with me. it was their disobedience that did it. Another thing is their selfishness. They were selfish, and they put things first. That was actually the selfish. So now that we're going to get into some more obedience. So Haggai 1:12 says, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and they feared the Lord their God. So they were disobedient, and they were selfish. They put their houses before the Lord. They put everything before the Lord. They were selfish, and then they were disobedient. So I just want to talk a second about being obedient here. Did you ever hear, well, partial obedience is really disobedience. You've heard that. And I believe that as Christians, we are many, many times partially obedient. We're obedient enough that we can say, I was obedient to the Lord, but we weren't quite the obedient that God wants us to be. I'm telling you, as the remnant, you have a higher standard of obedience that God expects from you than he does just anybody. Because you know, the more you know the Lord, the more you've been blessed by revelation in the spiritual things of God, the more you have, the more obedience is expected of you. And so I hate to bring this bad news, but you all need to be exceptionally obedient to the Lord. And that means not partially, but wholly obedient. And that means when God says jump, you say, how high, Lord? You know, I remember when God had, in different times in my life, he wanted me to be obedient to him. And I was obedient to a point, but he said, no, I want you to be totally obedient. There were so many times when I was a pastor. I've been in full-time ministry for the last 25 years. And you don't know how many times I tried to do a sideline. And I think, I'll just get a part-time job and I'll do that. And then, but I'll do everything else too, Lord. And the Lord kept saying to me, no, you're in full-time ministry. And I'd get fired from jobs, which I do not get fired from. You know, one job I had, I think, I don't know if I told you, I was a tobacco sensationalist specialist. In other words, I helped people stop smoking. Well, I never could figure out how to smoke in the first place, so I never did smoke. So I didn't understand, you know. And finally, I got fired. I actually got let go from that job. And the Lord said, I told you. Even now, my husband, he's going to be retiring, and I'm doing this. And I thought, you know what? He's looking for a part-time job online. And I saw they need data entry people. And I thought, I might do that for 20 hours a week along with this, you know, just to give me extra money. And the Lord said, no, you're not. He said, I want you to write blogs and write another book. And I want you to do what I want you to do. And you're not going to have time to spend 20 hours a week doing data processing. And so I could be disobedient, but I know it's not going to work. I know not by now. I'm old enough to know better. But, you know, sometimes God wants you to do something and you think, I'll be obedient, but, you know, maybe it's as simple as you don't watch this on television. You don't do this. You eat this way. You do this. And we're partially obedient. But the Lord, he wanted the Jewish people to be obedient to him. They were his remnant. They were the ones who were already obedient enough to return to Jerusalem. You see, that's another unfortunate thing. The more obedient you are, the more the Lord wants you to be obedient. So, you know, he just keeps bringing it in closer. But then you're in this blessed position of being close to the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful place to be? Wow, to be close to the Lord. So they were being disobedient to the Lord. The another reason was that I'm just going to read some more about this disobedience. Let's read Haggai 1:13, because this is a real important part. It says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the message of the Lord to the people. And he said, because they're obedient, he said, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Jerubbaal and the governor of Judah and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and began to work on the house of the Lord, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month in the year of King Darius. Now, there's something in here that of the whole message. I want you to get this part because I believe it's a revelation to you. It was for me when I read it. It says that they were obedient. They decided they were going to listen to Haggai, and they were going to start to work on the house of the Lord. They were going to do it. So they aligned their heart with the Lord. And then it says in the scripture, so the Lord stirred up the spirit Jerubbaal and of Joshua. He stirred them up, and the whole remnant of the people. He stirred up their spirit, and they began to do the work. In other words, if you set your heart on being obedient to whatever it is God's calling you to be obedient to, then he will stir up your spirit, and he will make it easier for you to get it done. He will put an anointing on you to do what it is that he wants you to do. And so when I was reading this, I felt like the Lord said that principle even works when you have to do, the Lord's calling you to do something even very personal. When I was reading this, the Lord said, you've got to get your diet better, you know, because you've got diabetes now. You've got to get it better. And I knew in Scripture, it says, I need to take care of my temple. I need to take care of it. And the Lord's saying, if you put your spirit, set it with me, if you make up in your mind, you are going to do this, I will stir up your spirit. I will help you. I will make you more determined. I will give you some self-discipline. I will give you an anointing of being able to resist some things. I will help you to do that godly thing that I want you to do in your life. Do you get what I'm saying? And so the Lord did that for them. And you know, he'll do it for anything. If your finances are a mess and you know you've been using that credit card, when the Lord said, don't you use that credit card again. Just believe in me, have faith in me, just take a deep breath and have patience. I will get you where you need to be, and I'll do what you need to do. But don't do that. But you still kind of are disobedient. But if you say, Okay, Lord, I'm going to do finances the way it says I'm supposed to do it in the Bible. I am going to do it the way you want me to do it. And you get that determination. The Lord says, I will breathe upon that decision. I will give you an anointing to be able to do that. I'll give you an anointing to be able to help you to resist things, to resist the devil. I'll do that for you. You understand that? It's so important that the Lord wants us to cooperate with him. You know, sometimes I remember years ago, and we've been doing this with our finances now, and I've seen it. The Lord says, I want you to tithe here. And you think, oh, I need new tires on the car. You're going to do it the way that the Lord wants you to do it, the way it says in the Bible, and I will help you. And he helps us. He helps us if we set our mind on that. Hallelujah. And so he helped them. He was helping them. They said, we're going to build the house. You told us we're to do that. We're going to build it. And the same principle is if you know that the Lord wants you to do something, that there is something that he has called you, he's put you on assignment to do something, and you've been wiggling around and saying it's not the right time or whatever, and you finally say, okay, Lord, I'm determining today, I'm going to make the decision, I'm going to do what you want me to do, I'm going to be completely obedient to you. And when you do that, the Lord says, okay, I'm going to breathe on that decision. I'm going to give you the right spirit. I'm going to help you and help your mind even. Hallelujah. The same principle goes with if we're not thinking the right thoughts, you know, and we need to have the mind of Christ. We say, Lord, I'm going to resist those negative thoughts. I'm going to do it the way you want me to do it. And then the Lord says, okay, I'm going to breathe on that. I'm going to breathe on that. And I'm going to help you. And I'm going to give you an anointing to do that thing. Hallelujah. And so we have a wonderful God. He did it for them and he'll do it for us. Hallelujah. I remember when I went to seminary, sometimes I look back on that and I kept saying, it's not the right time, Lord. I have three little babies, little kids. And I remember I had little kids and I had to go to seminary full time. And at night, I'd stay up at night and write papers I had to have done for seminary. And I even worked part time some. And I look back on it now and I think, how did I do that? And it's because the Lord breathed on my obedience. And so if God's calling you even to do some great thing that you think, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Well, when you say yes to the Lord, he'll breathe on that decision. Hallelujah. And he will help you. This message is called, What's Holding You Back? And sometimes what holds us back is our disobedience, our unfaith, our lack of faith, because we don't realize that God works with us. He works with us. Hallelujah. That's enough for just that. There is enough to have come out today. Just that, you know. And so we get in that flow. God will bless the work of our hands, and that anointing will rest upon us when we do that. You know, it's like, did you ever go to the airport and you had a whole bunch of luggage and you're like trying to get to the, you have to get to the next plane where you go, and you're just trying to, you're struggling. But then you see one of those walkways where you can go just kind of walk and it motions, you know, you're in motion. And it's like, That's what it's like when we get with the Lord. We're not struggling, you know, when we're obedient to Him and we set our mind on doing exactly what it is that the Lord wants us to do, then we're not pulling that luggage and trying to get to the other side. We can get on that walkway, and then we're going 40 miles an hour, you know, going down to get to the place where we need to get to. That's how God wants us to be in this life. He blesses us. Hallelujah. And so we just have to get with the program with Him. And so Haggai told these Jews, he said, you need to get with the program here. And then if you do that, when you're thirsty, you're going to take a drink and it's going to be good. And you'll eat and you'll be full. And you won't have any more holes in the pockets of your pants and your money won't fall out. He said, it's going to be all different if you do that. And so one thing that held them back was their disobedience and getting right with the Lord and getting on the same page with the Lord and getting with Him. How many of us want to be on the same page with the Lord? I'm just gonna pray real fast. Lord, you saw the hands. And so, Lord, I just say, I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, even right now, is resting upon us. And I thank you, Lord, that you know every single heart. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you make known to us, each of us, what it is that you want us to work on, that we're just not on the same page as you right now. And Lord, I ask that you help us to give that to you and to make that decision in our hearts right now. Lord, we're going to do it your way. We're going to do it your way. And Lord, we repent of when we didn't do it your way. And we ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, now's the decision. We're gonna do it your way. Whatever it is you've called us to do, whether it's a personal thing or whether it's a assignment on our life, whatever it is, we're gonna do it your way, starting right now. And Lord, I thank you that you're blowing on that decision, that you're blowing the fresh wind from the Holy Spirit on that decision. And Lord, that you're anointing each person here today. You're putting an anointing on their life to make it easy, to make it easy for them to follow you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Another reason why they didn't get it done was that, and this is a word that's kind of strange, but nostalgia. They had nostalgia about things, and it held them back. So I'm going to read Haggai 2, 3 through 9. It says, who of you is left who saw the house in its former glory? Now, that was the temple that Solomon had built. That was, remember that temple? It was beautiful, gorgeous. It was like beyond what we could even imagine. It was wonderful. And then he says, how does that look to you now? Well, that temple was in rubble. It was just completely destroyed. And he says, does it seem to you like nothing? But he says, but now be strong, O Zerubbabel. Declares the Lord, be strong, O Joshua, the high priest. Be strong, O people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord. And in this place will be great peace, declares the Lord Almighty. You see, one of the things that held these people back was that they probably looked at the rubble. Some of them remembered Solomon's temple. And they looked at the rubble and thought, we can't do it. We'll never get it to look like that again. We'll never be able to get that done. And so they were thinking they needed to replicate what God had done before. And what Haggai was saying is, it might not look the same. It might not be as glorious looking, but I'm telling you one thing, hallelujah, the glory of the Lord will be greater in this new temple. If you just do what I want you to do, if you just obey me and you follow the assignment that I have placed on your life, it's going to be better. I'm gonna be there. That's going to be better than how beautiful Solomon's temple was. Just the fact that my glory is going to be greater in this place. That's enough for you. Now, you know where I'm going here. You know, one time I spoke at this full gospel businessmen's meeting. About probably 20 years ago. I think you might have heard me say this before. But, you know, I got there and I was like, Lord, I need a minute. They're waiting for a prophetic word from me. Can you give me a prophetic word to just give this group? And I heard the Lord say, tell them they're all know-it-alls. And I thought, what? And so I thought, oh, well, Lord, you got to give me something more than that. I can't just get up there and say that. And then the Lord said to me, he said, first of all, the group, they were over 70. Almost every one of them were over 70, you know, my age or older, 65 and older. And they had been through every single move of God since 1900. You know, they'd been through the healing movement. They'd been through the prophetic movement. They were through the, the thing up in Toronto, that movement. They were through, they knew, you know, they all had been on the floor and they rolled around. They've all been through all that, you know. And so they were like sitting there and they were like, well, we're retired now. You know, we've seen it all. And the Lord said, I want to do a new thing with those people. But they think because they've seen it all and they know it all, they're not open to the new thing. And so that nostalgia, they keep reliving how God had did this in the past and how he did this in the past. But I can't do anything with these people, he said. I can't do anything with them. Well, that's where Haggai was saying that these Jews were. They were looking at the rubble and they remembered the glorious, beautiful temple that Solomon had built. And they thought, we give up. You know, we knew that, but God's not going to do it again. And the Lord says, oh, he says, but my glory is going to be greater. It might not look the same, but my glory is going to be greater in this temple. This is the message. A revival and God's great awakening is here and will continue. But he wants us to not look at the past, because it might not look like that. And this is the thing, too. We can look at our past experiences with the Lord and the wonderful times we've had with the Lord, even in our quiet time, in our prayer closet. We can look at the times we went to revival services and, woo, you know, it was wonderful. And we can think about that and think, oh, Lord, do it again. But the Lord's saying, no, I want to do a new thing in you. And I want you to be obedient to me and set your heart in the right place so that I can blow on that obedience and I can do what it is that I want to get done. Hallelujah. You all are his remnant. You're the ones he has given a responsibility to. He has given each of you something to do in order for this great awakening, in order to usher in what's already started and is still coming. You have such, it's exciting. But we should be like little children and think, well, it might not look like the last time. It was kind of fun rolling on the floor and doing all that, but that might not be how God wants to do it this time. He might let someone else roll on the floor and I have to do something else. It's okay. It's gonna be glorious, because the glory is gonna be even greater. God's presence is gonna be even greater. The miracles are going to be even greater than they ever were before. The worship is going to be even taking us even into deeper places of revelation of God's love. The harvest is going to be even greater. It's going to be easier to get people to saved. You know, I talked about that 12 of us who are trying to get through the Bible. And you know, at least six of those ladies, they weren't saved before we started this. That's why we started with the Bible, because they didn't know the Bible. Well, they're all saved now. You know, we've been all together for all this time. You know, it's glorious when we say yes to the Lord. And so we can't let nostalgia keep us back like they tried to do, like the people, the Jews did when Haggai came. The last reason that they were stuck is that they were discouraged. They let themselves get discouraged. Haggai 2:20 through 23. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, houses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take your servant Zerubbabel, and declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, Zerubbabel, he was getting discouraged. And the Lord knew that, so he sent Haggai to him to tell him all this stuff. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of those people that are after you. I'm going to take care of that stuff. You know, because as they were trying to rebuild the temple, well, their neighbors didn't like it, and so they started to come at them. That's what was happening historically here. And so they got discouraged. But the Lord came in and he knew how to encourage them, and he knew what they needed to hear. I'm telling you, God wants to encourage you today, because when we do make that decision, this is the bad news, but we do make that decision to say, I'm going to align myself with what it is that you want me to do, Lord. As soon as we do that, you know we've got an enemy who is going to come against us in some form or another. As soon as we say, Lord, I'm going to tithe, I'm not going to use a credit card, I'm going to do finances the way you want me to do it, well, then the refrigerator goes out. you all know that. And so, but we got to keep going, because what the Lord told Zerubbabel here, he's telling us, he's saying, I am with you. I'm going to take care of your enemies. I'm going to do what I need to do to help you. Be of good cheer. Be encouraged, because I am here with you. You know, we never, ever walk alone. Hallelujah. God is there to help us when we need him. And, you know, we can laugh at the enemy and say, hey, I got God with me. This is okay. It's going to happen. It's okay. It's okay. You know, this is a silly story, but you know, we have this old car that Chris drives it's 8 miles a day one way to work, and we've been trying to baby it. It's a 2006 Ford Taurus, and it used to be my mom's, and we've been trying to baby this car, because then I have a car, and you know, during the day to do what I want to do, and we took it, and he went to work, and it, somebody said, hey, do you notice there's a bunch of water all over? There's something. That car has a leak. There's a puddle under it. So we took it to the mechanic, and who's a Christian. The name of his shop is His Hands Ministry. He said, well, it's the water pump. And for that kind of car, it would have been $1,400. And the car's not worth $1,400. So I was trying to figure out, what were we going to do? Well, then the other mechanic there, what did he say? He said, well, for 8 miles a day, you could probably get at least 8 or 9 more months out of that car. Just make sure you put water in it every day and then drive it the 8 miles. It'll be fine. And so I thought, well, praise the Lord. We're going to do that for and try to, you know, get ready for another car. But God takes care of us. I know that's a little tiny thing. But I want you to think of all the times in which the Lord has stepped in your life. You know, oftentimes we dwell on the bad stuff. But if we would just think how many times the Lord probably, he stepped in and he did something for us. He was taking care of us. I'm telling you, the Lord is taking care of you. You each have angels that are assigned to you. And that no matter where you go, they help you. How many times did you almost have a wreck and an angel went, whoop, got in there? And you, we don't know right now, but by faith, I'm going to believe lots of times. You know, God takes care of us when we align ourselves. So when you think about that thing that God wants you to do, when you think about that assignment on your life, like I said, whether it's the big assignment of your life or whether it's that, there's little micro things like don't eat so many carbs because you just got diagnosed with diabetes type of thing. Or, you know, don't use that credit card when you think that you just have to use it. Or whatever, there's little things that the Lord's trying to tweak in us. You know, God is with us and he has his angels helping us. Hallelujah. I hope this encourages you today. Because, you know, they did get that temple done. And the people, it was a happy ending to this story with Haggai and those Jews that went with them, that remnant that went with them. I just want to close with this. I hope you all, I'm looking at you, and I just heard this in the Lord. The Lord just spoke this to me right now. And he said, I hope they realize just how strategically important that each one of you are. For such a time as this you were born, in this time in history, with what is going on right now, the Lord has assignments on your life, and nobody is not important. And the fact that you already took that step of obedience today and you're not at Walmart or something or at the laundromat, I don't know where you go on Sunday morning, you came to place yourself in a position where you can hear from God to be obedient to him. You're the remnant, and God wants to use you mightily. And so if the enemy tries to tell you that you have nothing, you're not doing anything, or you have, and what can I do? Or everybody else has an assignment but me. Or why do they get to do that and I don't? That's a lie from the pit of hell. And I don't know who may be thinking that today, but I just want to encourage you. The Lord just put this in my head to tell you that you're so very, very important. And the Lord wants you to take good care of yourself. He wants you to be obedient to him. He wants you to be ready to, when he says jump, to say how high. He wants you to be ready to be used by him. And each of you have assignments. I feel like the Lord's saying, follow your heart. The Lord gives you the desires of your heart. And, you know, we talked about this before. It's not, I desire a car, and so that he's going to give it. It's the Lord's going to place an unction inside of you of how he wants to use you. And then you follow that unction, that desire, and then he will place you where you need to be to do that. He will give you that desire of your heart. Hallelujah. And if you haven't quite figured it out yet, it's okay. Because as long as you just delight yourself in the Lord. That's the other part of that scripture. He will give you that desire of your heart. And he wants to use you greatly. He has people who would never, ever get into the kingdom of heaven without your influence. You know how I got saved, really? I was going, this was way back, because it's been a while. I was taking, they call it back then, aerobic exercise class. And you did, you know, that was when Jane Fonda was doing that, you know. And I went to this aerobic exercise class, and the instructor wore a cross. And she was just the sweetest thing. And I just admired her, and she was so sweet to everybody. You know, that woman never said a word to me, but I remember just thinking, huh, she's a Christian, because she wears a cross. That was back when crosses weren't popular, or even if you weren't a Christian. But just that little bit got me into the, pushed me further into the, till I was in the kingdom of God. So you don't know what it is that God, if he says to you, wear that cross today, you don't know. But I'm just telling you, you're all important. You are all important. And God is using you greatly, more than you can ever imagine already. So I just want to encourage you with that. And so the takeaway is that we decide that we're going to make that alignment, and we just did it. We're going to align ourselves today with what it is that God wants us to do. So you can get a lot out of Haggai, can't you? It's just a little tiny book. It's a little tiny book. And so we're just dismissed now. I'm going to be up here. if anybody wants prayer, or they, you know, maybe God would have a word for you. I'm not sure. He might. I'll just be hanging around, so just come on up. But before we go, I'll just say a quick prayer. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for showing us ever so gently, but yet sternly, Lord, that you want us as your remnant, as your chosen people, as your special, special people, to just continue to align ourselves in obedience to you. And Lord, we thank you then for giving us that word of encouragement, and that is that when we do that, then your anointing will rest upon us, and we will be successful in whatever it is that you've called us to do. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking away. The valley of my weeping.